games are you gonna run?
Well, I mean, I'm running the Rifts game, and then I'm going to be running Palladium Fantasy.
Palladium Fantasy. I play Palladium Fantasy. Blah, 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 blah.
Excuse me for choosing.
We have important things to talk about on this podcast.
Excuse me for choosing a superior rule system than whatever you're playing.
I'm not playing anything right
now. So there you go. You didn't even like the stand on.
I ain't playing shit right now. No. Well, anyway, we'll just start off right a bit. Welcome to Game Classy.
Game Classy.
There you go.
It's a podcast. You want to touch.
But you mustn't touch.
We dance magic dance.
Yes.
I think at one point we should just do a podcast that's just us singing like show tunes and stuff. And like, but like, and do a complete synopsis for the episode, like that we get into a bunch of topics or whatever and just sing the entire time.
Yeah. And not even, like, just show tunes?
Show tunes, TV show theme songs.
Well, like, that's what we just did normally.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we talk, generally. So this one has no dialogue, just singing.
Starting here, starting now.
Oh, we could also maybe sing about our topics, like, did you see the new Empire? The Griffin is sweet.
Anyway, I don't even know where to go with that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the, we actually... This week kind of sucked because I was we didn't get to record on the weekend. I feel like I'm all, like, my whole rhythm is thrown out. My mojo is gone.
I blame you.
It was all your fault. You were like, I'm going to play a big old game on Sunday.
Yeah, probably.
For 5 hours. I don't know how that happens. But we got a couple topics we want to talk about. Convention season is upon us. We had Adepticon, and you got to play at Adepticon.
I did. I played in the Fantasy Team Tournament.
And how did you do?
Oh, I got my shit wrecked.
Wrecked.
And I was as drunk as my army was destroyed.
Yeah, it didn't take much for you to get drunk.
Oh, see, you were not a pair. This is the thing. I'm what they call the lightning drinker.
Yes.
I'm a guy who, it looks like I only drank a little bit. You're like, how could you possibly have drank so little and be so drunk? But if you were to see my bar tab, you'd be like, my God, you spent $150 on alcohol. How did you drink all that? See, I had about half that bottle, or maybe like a quarter of that bottle of the Kraken rum,
yeah,
and three beers, and a Long Island, and a couple more beers. And that was when you said you were not that drunk, that was what I had consumed by that point.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, like I said, I got completely destroyed. And I was hammered that entire day.
And
Fantasy, oh my God, I've never played Fantasy drunk before. It is the most fun game I've ever played in my life while intoxicated.
That's why most people drink when they game. Because it's fun to drink and game at the same time.
Because that's the thing. I've always noticed, like, a lot of people drink when they're playing 40K in Fantasy. And I was just, you know, I've never been a huge drinker. Like, you know, I'll drink when the time is right.
Yeah, you're not a big drinker.
No, not generally. But, I'll do it when the time is right. But apparently, the time is right when you're playing Fantasy.
Yeah, it is. Because... one of the things that I always say about drinking with gaming is that drinking takes the edge off of the rules.
Yeah.
Because you really don't give a shit about a lot of the little rules when you're drinking.
And I realized, we discussed a little bit on the Scrubbed cast.
Yeah.
Well,
we recorded at Adepticon twice. The first time we recorded for about 5 or 6 minutes, and it just didn't take at all. The recording just was an epic failure. And the second time
we recorded... longer than 5 or 10 minutes. I think it was quite some time.
No, it was like 5 or 6 minutes. Yeah. And then the second one was, we recorded for 3 minutes, and then Steve talked to Tony Gripando for 10 minutes straight. It wasn't even anything interesting. It was like, hey, how you doing, Tony? How's life treating you? It was just like, I can't put this up.
That would have been awesome. You should have done it anyway. Just been like, listen to Steve talk to Tony Gripando.
Instead, talk to Steve talk about how handsome a boy Tony Gripando has grown into.
Yeah, seriously, because I knew he was a little kid. And now he's like his buff, like, macho-looking guy. I was like, you look like you could...
You never say that about me. I'm a buff, macho-looking guy.
He looks like he could kick the shit out of me. You look like you'll get winded if we start fighting. Well, I mean, I'll also be winded, but...
Well, I mean, well, trust me. If me and you started fighting, we'd be fighting Ponfar style.
Yes, with the batons. Yes.
I'd be down with it.
But yeah, so, because it's just weird. It's weird, because, I mean, I saw him, like...
Okay, enough about your love infatuation with Tony Gripando.
Shut up. His brother, too.
See, you're in love with the entire...
And Richie.
You're in love with the entire Gripando family. I've seen Richie a couple times. But anyway, so you played the team tournament. I was there all 3 days. I kind of stopped in. I was talking with people, meeting with people. I just normal stuff. Checking out the Crystal Brush stuff. The Crystal Brush winner, of course, was amazing.
I actually thought the second place entry was the second best overall was better.
The
Minotaur and the Halfling. I thought it was better.
They were both very well done. So I'm
not gonna knock either one. Yeah. I thought the blends on the play of the lighting and the blends on the second place. I just thought they were insane.
I like how you talk about miniature painting like you talk about fine cheeses.
Well, yeah. and the tattoos on the Minotaur.
Yeah, I mean, they were both very beautiful.
They were both excellent figures, but in my opinion, I preferred the second place.
Well, the whole judging for the Crystal Brush is really weird because a lot of, like, half of the judging is based on cool mini or not. Like, whenever your figure goes up on cool mini, people vote online for what score.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either. That was explained to me by a participant.
I assume they have professional photographers there to.
Yeah, they. Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I posted a bunch of my figures online that
look. They all look like Bigfoot. Yeah, they look like blurry pictures of Bigfoot.
It's like, did you paint Bigfoot? Because if so, great job.
Great job. It looks like a blurry Bigfoot. Yeah, and I, just fucking around, basically, just going around the floor, checking out stuff I could buy. Nothing I really wanted, and all around. Got to talk to Joe Crone.
Joe Crone? I talked to Joe Crone as well. He was very busy.
Yeah, Joe Crone's always busy.
He is. The man's a machine.
Well, and then the next weekend, this weekend that,
I didn't see Dane DeLamar, though.
Yeah, he was not there. This last weekend that just passed, though, was Little Wars, which is a Chicagoland historical gaming convention.
Ah, yes, Fritz. Tells him all about it.
I know Steve is not a big fan of the historical gaming. I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's a lot more fun than Steve lets out it to be. I think the games are a lot more creative.
Don't encourage these people.
The games are fun and inventive. There's not just the straightforward pitch battle games that you always see. Some of the games are really inventive.
Okay, I will just disclose this. I've played Warhammer Ancients, tight rule set, much better than Fantasy.
Yeah,
I've played Flames of War, good rule set as well. Yeah. I've played a decent amount of the historical games.
Yeah.
I just can't personally get invested in replaying events that have already happened.
A lot of people are like that. But there's fun games too. Like they had Jurassic Reich there, where it's Nazis and dinosaurs.
But that's not. But I wouldn't consider that a historical game. I mean, Nazis did ride dinosaurs.
Yes,
but if
we
it
all
was
know
Nazis
that.
Fighting dinosaurs, that's completely historically inaccurate.
We don't know that.
They never fought the dinosaurs. They rode on them.
We don't.
Didn't you see the picture of Hitler riding the T-Rex?
Events from that era are sketchy at best. Records from that era.
Fair enough.
When they went to the South Pole and went inside the big hole into the inner Earth, that's where they found the dinosaurs. The way I look at it, it's a historical game if it has Nazis in it.
Dust Tactics is a historical game?
So in a lot of ways, Warhammer 40K is a historical game.
Because the game's like 75%
Nazis? 75%
Nazi. and according to the results of the 40K singles tournament, it's actually approximately 28% Nazis.
Oh.
And they're Grey Knights.
Grey Knights.
And two armies were represented with a 0%.
What was that?
That was Tyranids.
Yeah. I didn't see any Tyranids.
Yeah, Tyranids was a 0. Not a single entrant out of the 288 or whatever. Biggest singles Warhammer 40,000 tournament ever. There was not a single Tyranid player, and there was one other army, and I don't want to guess at it because I'll be wrong. But I think it might have been Tau.
Was it Imperial Fist?
It wasn't Imperial. The Space Marines are one thing.
Crimson Fist.
Space Marines are one thing. Because I know. Dark Eldar looked like they were out in force, but not actually in high of a percentage. But Josh the Redmon, he pointed out something interesting, that when the army takes up a lot of space on the table, and the models generally look very good, they're one of the best looking armies in the game.
Yeah.
So there's something that sticks in your mind. So when you see two Dark Eldar armies, you're like, oh, like a ton, like 10 people playing Dark Eldar.
There was a billion people playing Dark. No, that's very true. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to the singles tournament. I was definitely there for the doubles. Got the team tournament, got to walk around, look at those stuff. It was really cool. I did see so many Grey Knights players.
Oh yeah,
so many. And then
ridiculous. And then I think the top 16 or top 8 tables were all Grey Knights. It was just Grey Knights versus Grey Knights.
Grey Knights versus Grey Knights.
Sweet game, bros.
Yeah. And in Fantasy, everyone was playing at ogres. Ogres everywhere.
Well, I will say this: That's not the same balance issue. A lot of people were playing ogres at the Fantasy team tournament
because
ogres
of neutrality.
Ogres have no team restriction. So if you play the same army, if you and your partner play the same army, you can't win. Which I think is bogus. And they're using the alliances chart, which I think is kind of cool, but then that has a lot of people, like, stack their choices.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Fantasy team tournament's composition. I think it's like awkward and forced, and it doesn't, because you know, one of the things, like, if you're playing 2,000 point armies, why don't you just split the a fucking 2,000 point army down the middle? Why can't either of us take a lord? And that's the thing too, because they make choices in their list production that seems completely counterintuitive to what their ideas are, because neither of you can take a lord, but only one of you can take a BSB. What sense does that make? Like, we're playing some weird, like, and a lot of armies are still hamstrung without their lord.
Yeah.
You know, like, undead. Don't have a vampire lord. Welcome to Suckville.
Tomb Kings
can get away with a little bit because they can spread their casters around a lot. Mm. Like, I've played, like, a mock 2,000-point list that just used heroes, and it was okay. It wasn't great, but, it was definitely night and day between playing a vampire army with no lords.
I mean, lizard men without a slan is kind of weak.
You could bring a really tough support army with Lizardmen because you just bring lots of skinks and salamanders.
Yeah.
And this thing with the different armies having such weird options, applying so many compositional rules to the books is just unbalancing. Because if people want to win, they're going to find the best combo regardless of what limitations you put. You could be like, you can't bring characters! And somebody will be like, all Chaos Warriors! Or like, all skinks! And you're just gonna be like, oh, well...
Oh, God, there's so many skinks! Ah!
Yeah, so you have the all Chaos Warrior guy plus the all skinks guy, and they table everybody.
Other than that, did you have fun in the tournament?
I had a blast. Yeah. I got my ass destroyed, because I brought a two-block army. Oh, what? I had planned to bring a two-block army, but someone pointed out that I needed to bring three blocks. And I was like, oh, I thought you just need three blocks between the forces. No, both armies need three blocks. I was like, oh, shit. So I painted up a unit of dogs so I could get to the three-block requirement. And I think if my partner was a little... Not like his army. I think his army just really couldn't support the list I brought.
Okay.
If he had like dark elves or something with like skirmishers or ranged, we could have put up a decent fight. But the problem was my army was really hard hitting, slow close combat, and his army was paper sack hitting, slow close combat.
Mm.
We had no range, so we were just getting destroyed at range. And then our armies were both slow, so we were outmaneuvered.
Yeah, I think dark elves probably would have been the best choice.
Dark elves or demons. If you could have brought some flamers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's saying it. So it was, I didn't go expecting to win a game.
Yeah.
And I was fine. I don't care. The whole like competitive drive to just smash people's faces, it's gone. I don't know where it went. I just don't have it anymore.
Oh, it's still there. We just have to unleash the Kraken.
Maybe. I mean, I wanted
to talk a little bit about my experience at Little Wars.
Go ahead.
So they have the flea market area at Little Wars, which is like they rent tables out.
How did that smell?
It just smelled like any convention, really. It just smells like BO. But it was the weird thing with historical gamers is that they see micro armor. And they all of a sudden become, like, ravenous dogs. Micro armor! Blah!
What the hell is micro armor?
Micro armor are tanks that are smaller than, like, 5mm. They're tiny, tiny tanks.
Why?
I have no fucking idea. I'm like, why would anybody want a tank that small?
That's just 5mm.
Yes.
So they're half the size of a Warmaster figure?
Yes. Tank.
What?
Exactly.
Why would you... What army, what battle in the history of the fucking world had more than, like... 20 tanks!
Well, and that's the thing. It's like these people get ridiculous about the micro armor. And it's like, I was literally in the flea market area.
That's so weird!
Just, wandering around. I got a couple rule books. I got, the Pulp 45?
Yeah.
Yeah,
love their artwork.
A whole set of them. Every one of the books for $1.
Nice.
And I just picked it up. I'm like, I'm going to buy this.
I mean, it's $1. I could not. Yeah. I cannot scold you for spending $1
on that. And there's like a bunch of other stuff. I got a couple of figures. I got some like little tiny trees I'm using for Westeros for terrain.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I'm pretty excited to have you finish that so I can play with you.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to finishing that myself. Yep. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it was like I was getting elbowed by. First of all, every historical gamer generally weighs over 250. I'm going to put that out there.
Fair enough. I've never been to a historical tournament, so
these guys, and they all wear suspenders, too. But it was like I was getting elbowed on all fronts by these guys who are like, micro-armor, micro-armor, micro-armor. I'm just like, fuck!
They're like the cavity creeps, micro-armor,
yeah,
micro-armor.
They are like the cavity creeps. They just bust teeth. It's disgusting. And then they have to stop and breathe a little bit. And then they get back, and micro-armor, micro-armor. It was like that, and there's always a ton of people selling like these like, where do these giant collections of, like, history books come from?
The Osprey books and stuff?
Not even just Osprey, but it's, like, all of these massive amounts of tomes of history books.
Well, I mean, perfect example, my grandpa had a ton of them.
I know, but I mean, it's just, like, these guys come in with, like, boxes and boxes. Well,
I mean,
and boxes.
My grandpa had an insane history collection. He didn't leave it to me, but, no. I mean, had he left it to me, I would have been one of those guys coming in with a bunch of boxes of historical books. I'm like, buy these.
Micro armor. Yeah, it's... yeah, it's crazy. But I do like, what I like most about Little Wars is, or any historical convention, is like the pulp figures, like Cobblestone, and all of them. They put out, they come in and they bring Knuckle Duster.
Big fan of pulp.
Yeah, and they put out all the stuff, and they had, like, you know, the retinue of Dr. Zhou, and it's like this Asian guy with all these, like, Asian retinue.
You know, I want to throw this out there for one second. I just thought of this while you were discussing pulp. I was like, you know, I'm not into the historical wargaming, mm-hmm. but you know what? I would be completely fine with doing like a historical RPG. Like a squad of like hard boiled badasses going into like Denmark to kill some dudes.
Well, that's what and like Back of Beyond, which is Cobblestone. He does that, and it's really cool. I mean, the figures are just fantastic. Yeah. You know, that's
because I can see doing that. It's just the whole wargaming aspect of the historical stuff.
It's not quite the same.
It doesn't click with me.
I remember back when I worked at the giant corporation known as GW. I played a couple games of Darkest Africa with my then boss, and it was a ton of fun to play Darkest Africa. And it was a mini game, but there was the rule set around it. It was fun. It was like a mini game that was DM'd. Okay. And you just played along with
well,
whatever
you saw. Back in the day, the first miniatures games had a DM.
Yeah.
They had a referee.
It was like okay, we're on a paddle boat going down the, you know, the Nile River, and it was whatever, and all of a sudden we're going to take my Zulu!
Ah! Yeah, and a fucking crocodile!
Yeah. And so you got to have your redcoats come out and, you know, shoot shit, and you got your character. It was a lot of fun. I enjoy games like that. And it's kind of has that RPG element to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I
which is like. Why I've always been a big fan of, like, Mordheim and games like Warbands, where you can have units advance in strength and characters advance in strength.
Well, yeah.
And, you know,
like,
level up.
Speaking of Warhammer Historicals, which you brought up earlier, their Old West game is one of the best
that uses the Lord of the Rings
rules,
battle game rules,
and uses them like how they
correctly
should be used. You only have 7 figures. You don't have massive armies.
Yeah,
because and it's like, oh, you have, you know, and they're Old West, and
it's a Wild West shootout.
Yeah,
and their stats probably aren't ridiculous.
No, they're not.
Because that was the problem with Lorder. You're like, you can't hit anything. When you finally do hit it, you can't hurt it. Everything. It's just like, oh, well, unless you're elves.
Unless you're elves. And it's also good because they have the old-timey, like, street boxer rules, like, bare-knuckle boxer rules.
Nice! The brass knuckles.
With the brass knuckles and, like, a Pinkerton. It's like, that's fun to me. I'm an old-timey guy, and the older I get, though, the more I like that sort of thing. Anyway, I think we've covered that enough. Holy crap, we talked about like that for a while. I wanted to get into the other big news.
I bought these Dark Age toys?
No, that said you bought Dark Age.
Oh.
When you start playing Dark Age for a while, I want you to come in and give me a review of it.
I will. Because it's actually, upon looking at it, it's kind of new. It came out in August 2011,
The
game's old.
Yeah, the game is old. The figures are relatively new. The figures are massive. They're 35s, 30s?
They're big, but see, that's on average, the figures run big. Because, see, these are, like, these are slightly larger, because this is a normal human.
Yeah, the normal humans are still big, too. They're heroic 28s. And the other figures have got to be...
The medium-sized guys are huge.
Yeah, they got to be 30s,
and then they got their
40s.
They got their big guys, which are also quite large.
Yeah, the big guys are 54.
Yeah.
But when you play the rule set, you could come on and explain it to us.
I will, because it looks really good. It looks fun and tight, so.
Yeah, the big news is the D&D news that we were talking about a little bit before.
Oh, Monty Cook.
Monty Cook is...
Designer extraordinaire.
Behind the
mighty mind behind Monty Cook's World of Darkness, and Monty Cook's role-playing game, and Monty Cook's Monty Cook.
Produced by Monty Cook.
Produced, written, directed by Monty Cook. He's the Tim Burton of tabletop role-playing games.
So his soundtrack is done by Danny Elfman.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
So I
love little girls.
They Danny make Elfman. Me so feel so.
What a champion!
I have that Oingo Boingo album.
The Oingo Boingo is fantastic.
So they have a. So he's left D&D 5th edition.
D&D Next,
whatever it's called, 5th Ed.
It's D&D Next.
I don't know. D&D 5th edition.
You know what? It's going to be trash now, because their lead designer, one of the best designers in tabletop gaming, quit.
See, I know nothing
he
of this.
Quit!
Because I just saw this. It popped up on my reader. I read through the article, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad. You know, I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't do a ton of research into it. I'm like, I'll just bring this up to Steve. I was wondering what, and you were just like, Monty Cook is the guy who made gold.
I mean, no, the dude's huge. Like, he was chiefly responsible for 3.0.
Okay.
And, like, all of the good changes in 3.0. And, like, because, I mean, they redefined. Most people did not go from 2nd ed D&D to 3.0. Most people started at 3.0.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're playing 2nd ed D&D, you know, I think, you know, that was the edition that turned kobolds into draconid creatures.
Yeah.
Because kobolds were always just little guys. They were, like, kind of ugly looking, but they were just little dudes.
They were just nothing... like, hey, let's go
down. Yeah, kind of. Hey. I mean, they were not quite a goblin, not quite a hobgoblin. They were a kobold. And, like, that's just what they were.
They were a muppet.
They were kobold. And now, you know, that edition turned them into dragons. So, like, a bunch of stuff that's become kind of, like, the standard for fantasy role-playing was third edition, which was a big part of, you know, Monty Cook was design lead.
So he designed most of third edition. He probably, I take it, skipped out in fourth.
Yeah, he skipped out in fourth.
And then he comes back for fifth. And now all of a sudden he leaves because of creative differences.
Yes, creative differences, which is the worst possible thing your lead fucking designer can say.
Well, so give me your idea of what those type of creative differences.
I could never tell you because the man's a professional and he'll never say.
Yeah. But I don't care about what he says. I want to think, what do you think that means?
I think it means that, because, I mean, Wizards wants to make a product that's going to sell a fuck ton of books.
Yes.
They give two shits about anything else. And I think... he wanted to design a game, because, I mean, if you listen to him talking about his, like, design theories of, like, making D&D next, he wanted to make a game that encompassed every aspect of D&D ever. So he wanted a D&D that someone who was a first edition, hardcore, they play with the Gygax box set, look at it and go, this is the game I remember, this is the game I want to play. And be able to reach the same people who maybe play fourth edition and love it. And he wanted to reach everybody. And Wizards, they want a game they can sell. They don't care about anything else. And yeah. I think that's the kind of... So they're probably running, you know, butting heads on issues like that. And I can't say what it is. You know, maybe they were like, no, you have to use... It's so hard to just guess.
Maybe it was like, no, you can't use multi-sided dice. You have to use only six-sided dice.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something like that. You know,
and he was like, yo, that's not how, like, it
that's,
goes.
That's not D&D. You know, and that's probably the kind of thing. Or maybe he wanted to do... Maybe he wanted to branch away from 4th edition and 3 so much, it seemed like a much more distinct game. You know, maybe he wanted to do, like, ablative hit points for armor. You know, like, your armor takes damage, which Palladium Fantasy does and is great. Or
you and your Palladium Fantasy.
You can mock it all you want. It's the best tabletop role-playing game ever.
Okay.
Maybe not ever, but it's really fucking good.
You and your hyperbole.
It's really fucking good. Okay. But, you know, maybe it was something like that. Maybe he wanted to do, like, big changes in, like, the core mechanics that I guess would be, like, the D&D brand to WotC. And, you know, that's something that they probably were like, no, fuck off. You know, because he's an independent design guy, and he's been doing a lot of stuff independently. Or, like, you know, he'd write some stuff for Pathfinder or for Paizo.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, this is the thing I produced, here. And they go, great, well, you know, we'll wrap it up and put your name on it and send it out. You know, and now then he gets put in a design lead from a mega corporation who's going to have guys, like, down his throat going, like, is this book going to sell more than 4th edition? Is it going to maintain sales?
Is it going to maintain...
And that's probably the kind of things. I mean, who knows? Maybe he just fucking hated the people he worked with.
That could be it, too. I mean, there was, like, that one woman who just did nothing but brought in cookies.
Yeah.
And that's all she did. She's like, I brought cookies in for the food. And he's like, well, you haven't finished putting this artwork in the book. But I brought cookies!
Yeah.
He's just like, fuck this!
Yeah, maybe that's how it went. Yeah, that could be a case. It's too hard. And, you know, like I said, the dude's, like, a consummate professional and will not ever say why.
Yeah.
And but the weird thing is, there are the... One of the people from WotC, like, made a comment on it, how it was, like, such a big surprise. I think it was, like, one of the, like, the, I don't know, the CEO of D&D or some shit.
The CEO of D&D.
Yeah, I don't
know. How do I get that position?
Be way more awesome.
That would be, I would love, you know, even if I had that job for just a day.
You'd just save the business cards?
I would save the business cards. I was the CEO of D&D.
Yeah, it's not actually the position, but he was basically, like, the company,
CFO of D&D, that's real, though.
He was the contact between, he was the liaison between the bigger ups, I guess, and the design team. That guy from Wizards is like, this came as a complete surprise. I had no idea what was coming. And if that's actually true, he had no idea what was coming, that communication breakdown That's it's fucking huge.
That's probably the reason why Monty Cook left.
Yeah, that's huge. So, yeah. I mean... you're never going to know.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And then we'll see. I mean, maybe... And you know what? You'll see how many of his... If D&D Next comes out and it bombs, or just people are like, this is fucking dog shit, it's probably ideas that he was railing against. Or maybe it'll be fucking awesome. I don't know. I'll look, but it's going to be really hard to pull me away from the two games I'm interested in right now.
It doesn't take much to get you away from those games that you're interested in.
Not really.
You don't have the shortest attention span, but you do have a short attention span for a lot of games.
Not tabletop, though. Tabletop RPGs. I only have... Like, Pathfinder, I was, like, so into Pathfinder, and then after, like, running a game of it and, like, you know, playing it, I realized it was, like, it's just the prettiest looking version of 3.5 you can possibly get.
Yes.
All of the giant flaws that bugged the shit out of me in 3.5 are still living strong in Pathfinder. So I was like, I can't believe I was duped.
You were duped.
I sold all of my Pathfinder books, and I still kept all of the old role-playing books, the Palladium stuff, because it's the only stuff that I ever had. And the Palladium stuff, the rules are so shitty. In general, the rules are garbage. They're awful. They're so old and just...
Yeah.
So, you know what you have to do? You have to wing shit. Yeah. You have to wing shit. And you know what makes your game awesome? Winging shit. That's what makes the game great. Tight rules? That isn't what makes a role-playing game great. What makes a role-playing game great is you saying, Steve, I'm gonna grab this chair and smash the dude's head with it. And me going like, you can absolutely do that, Joe. Roll an attack dice.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's like...
You failed miserably.
You missed. But you did manage to hit the party bard. Yeah. Who was playing a tune of a battle hymn, and you knocked him out. and then the other game I'm interested in isn't even out yet, but it's the Iron Kingdoms role-playing game.
Yeah, you still talking about the Iron Kingdoms.
Oh, so excited for it. Because that game is going to have a super tight rule set for combat.
What I would like you to do, if you could find it, I want you to take a look at the Game of Thrones rule set.
It's great.
Have you?
One from Mongoose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
And do you like it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great system. I'm not interested in playing in Game of Thrones because I think Game of Thrones is very rich and robust, and I don't think I could add anything to it. I would just detract from it.
Yes, you would just be like, the world is so rich and so wonderfully put together that you're just like, anything I do right now will just take away from this game.
It will ruin it.
Well, and that's the reason, like I really like Battles of Westeros, because it's essentially a historical game. You're recreating battles from the books. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do your own stuff, but it's like... Like, there's rules, and there was like, you could play as the Baratheons versus the Starks, and I'm just going like, the Baratheons wouldn't fight the Starks! That's not how it works!
Well, I mean, you could do, you know, post-Robert.
Well, I mean, but that's even still, it's like, Renly never fought Robb Stark!
Oh, I don't know that, because I've only read the first book.
Okay, well...
Staunchly refuse to read past the first book until George R.R. Martin finishes them.
He's almost done with the next book.
Good.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, we've been saying that for years and years and years for the last book.
Yeah, like 10 years, I believe.
I think it was close to 10 years. But it was worth it! No, it wasn't at all. That last book was terrible. But
was it really?
It wasn't. I shouldn't say it was terrible. It was just, to me, it was not worth the wait.
10 years?
Well, I mean, the first three books all came out relatively quickly. I mean, within a year or two of each other. Mm-hmm. Then the third to the fourth book took a couple years, and the fourth to the fifth book was the huge gap.
Yeah.
And the fourth and the fifth book were supposed to be the same book together.
I thought this was fifth and sixth.
No, the sixth one is the one that's going to be coming out.
Okay.
But no, the Feast for Crows and A Dance with Dragons were supposed to be the same book.
But it was too big.
So he split it in half, and then he had to write more chapters.
To try and fix what he did?
Well, not to try and fix, but he had to write more chapters to fill out the next book.
Oh, okay.
So he did that, and it was just like... It was an entire waiting 10 years for a book that happened simultaneously with the last book. And since you know nothing really happens in the last book, then the next book, nothing happens in it.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's stuff that does happen, and you get to see a lot of characters that you haven't seen in the last book. And, you know, it doesn't progress the story any further. I think that was just my problem with it.
And does Renly finally score with Stannis?
I will not tell you anything because you haven't watched last night's episode of Game of Thrones yet.
I have not. I'm very excited about it.
I hope you are.
Vagina Shadow Monster.
I want you to text me. It's like after the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Oh, Vagina Shadow Monster?
Just text me after the first 10 minutes.
Okay, very good. I'll probably text you after the episode is done.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's a very good episode. Right. I gave it a B.
You've been harsh.
I have been, because I've...
Which I think is kind of bullshit. I think you're a little too harsh.
You know...
You're too critical.
My biggest...
You know what you're doing? You're being me and you're reviewing historical war games. That's what you're doing.
I like the show a lot. My biggest problem is that I'm a little blindsided, so I'm starting to look at it more in terms of, like, a TV show. So if, like, the biggest problem right now is that there's 9 different storylines going on in the first half of the season, and I know it's going to narrow down to just a few storylines because some storylines are going to intersect and so on and so forth. But still, it's too confusing and you're not getting enough per episode.
Yes, and DMs, don't ever try to run a game like Game of Thrones. You will fail miserably as all of your plots fall apart. Stick to one.
Stick to one. That's absolutely true. But I like the Battles of Westeros, and the Baratheon expansion is coming out, and I wanted to talk about that.
You're a big hard-on for the Baratheons?
Oh my god, I have such a hard-on for that game. It's so dumb, but I love it. I love everything about it. It uses an 8-sided die, you know, all combat's based on pictures and not, you know, little pips on the dice.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you have a guy who has a red flag? Well, you have to only roll red flags to hurt him. It's just like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. If you had an 8-sided die, it would be much more effective. But, or it would be much more feeling adult feeling. But I love everything about that game. I love that, like, all of the little different units are only, like, 3 people instead of, like, a big, massive 20-man unit. Mm-hmm. I like that it's 15mm and it plays on a hex board, even though the hexes are 55mm for some...
Which is very bizarre.
Godforsaken reason.
Very bizarre.
I had to go online and find a guy that would custom cut me 55mm races.
Nice.
I'm so pissed.
That guy's probably not.
No,
he's probably like, yes, the third person who bought Battles of Westeros has finally come to me for those bases.
Yeah. I know you say that. It's a good game.
It is a good game, but you know what? How does it
sell?
The hobby gaming world is inundated with excellent games that never move.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. Like,
it sells okay.
It sells okay.
It sells okay. Yeah, I mean, a few people like it, and then I got a couple places where, but reorders are slow.
Yeah,
and you know, it doesn't sell as well as just the Game of Thrones board game.
That
game sells quite well, but
yeah, I'm still waiting on my
board games. Board games is a niche market.
Yeah,
and if it's not settlers,
board games. I still feel board games are gonna. It's getting close to that explosion point. It's getting close.
What, explosion point of popularity?
In popularity.
They're rising.
It's rising. But it's gonna pop soon. To the point where it's like all of a sudden people are gonna realize that, oh my god, these board games are amazing.
The United States is suddenly going to become Europe for the past 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, Europe has been doing this for a while, but Europe isn't always like so. Europe is just like, is it was a board game. The board game is fun, whatever. You know, via
Germans. I believe it's the Germans.
Via the Germans.
I think you were doing a French accent.
I don't know, they kind of merged together or whatever. But the Germans, yeah, the Germans have been doing it.
I think you should just stick to a Euper.
Oh, yeah, there. Us here in Europe, we really like these board games there.
That works much better.
You like these a lot better?
That's much better. Well, I don't feel
like... Hold on, I have to get a drink from the bubbler.
Gonna get a nice soda.
Gonna get a soda?
I think that works better. Go
to the time machine.
I think that works better because you're not gonna slip into other accents because you're gonna have to stick in the Euper.
The problem is mainly... No, I'm just saying, I'm gonna stop there. No, but Germany... But in America, it's gonna pop. Because I think right now, it was... Like, a lot of people who are my age and you know, like, the 30s, late 20s, are kind of discovering the board games again. And now that's...
Oh, there's so many great board games.
There's so many good board games.
And that's kind of why I was thinking about it. We don't cover board games a lot on here. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, because we don't have enough time. We would never...
need a lot of time.
We would need a podcast for every board game I've played that I've really enjoyed. We would need a full podcast just for that board game.
Well, I mean, like, at my house right now, what do we play on a regular basis? We play Settlers of Catan on a regular basis. We play Ticket to Ride on a regular basis. I like Ventura. We play Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico!
Ticket to Ride is the big one that everyone likes, but that's because that game is so ridiculously, stupidly easy.
Yeah. You played Small World?
I'm not a big Small World fan.
Okay.
I've played it before. It's not fun to me. It's kind of like, you get to do this. Okay, now put your token on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people like the goofy fantasy setting. Well, I don't really like any of the games you mentioned.
Yeah.
Except for Puerto Rico!
You know you don't like, you know, Catan and all that. And not like others. I have plenty of games that I enjoy playing. And Battles of Westeros is one of them. Dust Tactics, another game I like playing.
Dust Tactics is good.
Did you play Dust?
Yeah, I played it a lot.
No, I'm talking the Dust Warfare.
I have not played Dust Warfare.
Adepticon, they had a booth set up where they were showing...
Did they have the helicopters?
They did have the helicopters. No, they didn't have the helicopters. They had the Russian models, though.
Oh, okay.
They had the demo models for the Russians. Yeah, they were pretty sweet looking.
Das Vidanya.
Das Vidanya. Komrad.
Vostrovia!
But I really like that game system. I don't think there's no way it's going to take off in the market. It's the way the Dust should have been marketed in the first place from Fantasy Flight. They should have never put out the board game. They should have just gave them the put the rule set in the box and say, this is how you play this goddamn game.
Yeah, here's your miniatures.
Yeah. This. And I understand, like, I like Dust Tactics because it's quick. You set up the board game, you can get a good game done in 15, 20 minutes, and then you're done. You can move on. And you could, it's very customizable. You have a lot of expansions for it. The expansions are cheap. Not the box set. The box expansions are kind of expensive.
$40.
For what they are, they're a little on the expensive side. But, I mean, the unit expansions are, like, between $20 and $30.
Yeah, it's definitely cheap. For pre-painted minis, it's a really good
They're not pre-painted.
Well, quote-unquote pre-painted.
The good guys are painted green, the bad guys are painted gray.
That's more pre-painted than just plastic.
Yeah, that's true. They're already assembled. There's no assembly required. There's very little cleaning required. No modeling that needs
when
to be
done. When I say pre-painted, I meant the barest minimum of pre-painted.
The barest minimum of effort is needed.
Because you can paint right on, I think you can just paint right on top of it, right?
Yeah, generally, you can.
Yeah, so pre-primed. That's what it is. Pre-assembled, pre-primed miniatures.
Yeah, which
just is... just like the bones from Reaper.
The bones.
Yeah. Have you seen the bones?
Yeah, I've seen the bones.
They're interesting.
Yeah, I want to play with it. I haven't played with them yet.
They take washes really well.
Yeah. But the dust warfare, it seems interesting. I could see, like, for a while now, they've been trying to do the Weird War 2 games for a while, and no company has it's never latched on. Secrets of the Third Reich, AEWW2, have both tried very hard to do it.
A lot of them don't have the right miniature support.
Yeah, and they just never, like, AE World War 2 has really good minis. The rule set's kind of crappy. But the minis are really cool. They just don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
Secrets of the Third Reich has an amazing rule set.
No minis.
It has minis that are really nice. It has a lot of minis, but they look terrible.
Oh, okay.
Like,
because I knew one of them was good rules, shit minis, great minis, shit rules. So you should just buy the great minis and the good rules.
The thing is the AEWW2, which has the good with good minis, are really expensive.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but they're big. They're nice looking. And the secrets of the third one. Anyway, we lost some of the Predator stuff because my SD card was full and I had no idea.
We did. I was talking about my Predator Necromunda / Kill Team.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a good thing I checked too because we probably would have just kept recording on and on, and then it would just been like all of it's lost. Yeah.
And I definitely would just repeatedly play this.
Let's make that the theme song for this week's
nice.
Episode.
Nice.
I want you to, like, why don't you put words to that, like, game classy.
All right, wait.
Got a game classy. 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 We gotta come up with some other lyrics to it. Oh. Like, Joe and Steve are gonna argue about historical
I would
gaming.
Actually have to not disrespect the Predator theme. I would actually really need to like
legitimately come up with
yeah I would need to legitimately stop and like think about it and listen to it and come up with a perfect thing that coincides with the Predator theme.
It coincides with the Predator.
And then we can open the podcast by going like, Joel, you son of a bitch.
Did you hear that audible slap as we...
What's the matter? The CIA got... What's the matter? GW got you pushing too many pencils. Yeah, so there was some podcast lost. It's gone.
It's not too bad.
It's in the void.
It was just us basically doing... I think us arguing about the Expendables.
Yeah, we were arguing about the Expendables a little bit.
Which, thank God that's cut, because I probably would have cut that anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Because you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Whatever. Opinions are fucking opinions. It's fucking mad. You can't be right or wrong.
I can be right.
No, you can't.
All right. Fine. Be that way.
Damn you for being logical.
Damn you for being logical. But,
Captain, logic is the only way to approach any problem. Vulcans!
Vulcans. Fuck the Vulcans. Why does it every time we come out for a smoke, you end up talking about the Vulcans?
I don't know.
Huh? Just weird like that.
I guess it's just one of those things.
I mean, aside from what we talked about, there's anything else big going on in the gaming world? Because I don't think so.
The Magic set I haven't restored just at its pre-release. It was a big fall to all. And then there's the release this week. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Woo! You go into the GOAT?
No, probably not.
No.
No, I haven't really been doing much Magic at all.
No.
No, It's so fucking expensive to keep up with.
It is. You gotta keep up with the Kardashians
If you want us to play competitively, it's like Magic is at the same exact time the cheapest game to play and the most expensive game to play.
Yeah.
Because if you play Magic with your buddies and you just buy a couple packs here and there and, like, you know, improve your deck with the random crap you get, the game's cheap as shit. But if you're playing in tournaments and trying to be competitive, the game is so expensive. And it's like yeah, you can spend the cost, like, you can spend like $400 on a deck and that deck is only good for 6 months or whatever. And then,
yeah.
Then it's gone.
Exactly. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, because I don't play card games.
Imagine Warhammer.
I'm just making fun of you because I don't play Magic.
Whatever. You used to play Magic.
I did.
Everyone played Magic.
But what did I forget the rules for? Confrontation 3.
Yeah, you did not forget the rules for Confrontation.
No. I remember them. I think they're amazing.
Which will maybe be helpful for Phoenix Edition?
Who knows? I'm hoping that at Gen Con, like, that's like my big hope at Gen Con, is like at least get to, like, I hope Phoenix Edition is there. I hope I get to see the Baratheon. I hope the Baratheon expansion for Westeros is released.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm hoping I'm to enter some painting competitions at Gen Con.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna beat you.
I got a few months. Whatever, dude. We're both gonna get our asses kicked by professionals.
What are you talking about? I came in second last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Gen Con one.
Okay, because there's multiple.
They got multiple ones. Yeah, actual Gen Con one.
Okay.
I think it's sponsored by Reaper.
Okay.
I don't know. I came in second, though, with my big, with my Empire.
So you still lost to a professional.
With my land ship.
So you still lost to a professional.
Yeah. My unit came in fourth.
Wow, fourth. You just mentioned a worse place.
Hey, I got a ribbon, and it was pretty.
Who does not want to wear the ribbon?
Yeah, it was a big blue ribbon. I won. Yeah. My land ship was good.
You're a blue ribbon winning ham.
Nice. Yeah, I really want to do Privateer Press this year, so I think I'm going to have to get some.
Dude, the Privateer Press ones are really nasty.
Yeah.
Like they're real tough.
No, as I said, the problem is that it's not the actual competition. It's picking up your figures afterwards, where there's like a line around the block where you have to critique every fucking model. No, I know I didn't win, so therefore don't critique my goddamn model because I know I didn't win.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care. I'm going to smash this model as soon as you hand it to me.
Just smash it good.
I would like to do that, actually. No. Like, come in first place but don't win the Slayer Sword or whatever and just be like, this is garbage! And throw and destroy my model spent months on.
Just destroy Drew Drescher's models. That's what you do.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Good call. Drew Drescher, I'm looking for you. Next painting competition. Prepare to have your shit smashed.
No, you got I like the Privateer Press one. I think the models always look really pretty at that competition. I just really wish I was better. I'm getting better with the airbrush, so I think I'm going to be able to legitimately do some good stuff with the Privateer Press.
Those are stuff that takes airbrush really well with the Jax.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's also my biggest strength, which is the airbrush, is also my biggest flaw, is that the Jax have a lot of, you know, just flat space. And yeah. I want to do more with it than just airbrush it.
Do some sweet, like, filigree artwork.
Yeah.
You know it would be badass if you did, like, pulp-style World War II, like, chicks on bombs, but you just themed it as...
Yeah, I can't freehand.
Oh. See, I can freehand. That's where I'm going to beat you.
You can't freehand.
Yeah, I can.
Well, you can freehand, but it doesn't look good.
I can freehand, and it does look good.
I disagree.
You've never seen me freehand.
This is where we can disagree, and I'm right.
You've never seen me freehand. Because I cheat. I use pens.
Everyone uses pens.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, paint that shit on. Fuck that. I'm using pens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Paint that shit on. Freehand paint that.
I'm not going to do that. I'll use pens.
There you go. That's the reason.
But I'll just tell everybody I painted it.
Oh, okay. I think what we should do this year at Gen Con is we should just bring a folding table. We go in the middle of the hall for Gen Con, set up the folding table, and have a delicious tray of meats and cheeses that me and you just sit there and eat. With everyone around us.
Nice. And not let anybody have
not let anybody have any delicious meats and cheeses. We have to dress like dapper dandies.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I'll get the rouge and everything and the powdered wigs and we'll get the diamond tip canes and be like, oh, how decadent. Finally here at Gen Con eating our fine wheel of cheeses.
Oh, God. That's what I wanted to talk about. I'm glad we actually have some time. We got like...
Want to talk about dandies?
No. But I wanted to talk about the guys who were podcasting at Adepticon. I don't know who these guys were, but they looked so into it.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they were just like, well, you... Like, they were obviously, like giving, like, a play-by-play of, like, something or other. Like, well, Steve, you gotta see that the big thing right now is the Dark Eldar versus the Grey Knights, which is actually the army to be. You know, it's just like...
I don't think that's a question. It's clearly the Grey Knights. Like,
I think the question is truly, like, who gives a shit?
I mean, if I would have done something like that, I would have done it, like, Madden the entire time. Like, if you want to win the game, you have to kill your opponent's models.
Yeah. Exactly.
You gotta roll dice. That's the number one thing. You gotta roll dice.
You gotta roll the dice. See, when you want to move your finger 6 inches, you have to pull the tape measure out, measure 6 inches, and move your finger 6 inches.
That's where everyone messes up, is they don't move the 6 inches.
It's just like,
if you want to beat them in hand-to-hand, you've got to close in hand-to-hand combat.
I think that's one of the reasons I like that Game Classy. We cover lots of different stuff, because if we just talked about nothing but 40K, I'd shoot myself. Or fantasy.
I think we'd shoot each other. Murder-suicide.
Yeah. Murder-suicide.
Yeah. Be like, that's it. It's over, Joe. Bang! And then you just hear, I'd be like, someone upload this for me. Bang! Yeah.
Whoever finds this, upload it.
Yeah, whoever finds this, upload it. Bang! Yeah, done.
Yeah, because I love fantasy. I love 40K. I can't talk about it all the time.
No. Unacceptable.
I'm right now, I'm actually in a GW lull, because I'm just about finished with my Skaven army. I'm going to take a break before I start anything else.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna finish up the Westeros stuff.
Well, I've got a drive to finish my Chaos now, so I'll be pretty excited to battle them against your Skaven.
Yeah, and you'll destroy my Skaven, because I don't know how to play.
I don't know, Skaven's a really good army. You might just beat me because you have a good army.
I beat you out of sheer dumb luck.
No, not dumb luck, just because your army's kind of better.
I don't know, because I'm going to take Madden's advice, and I'm just going to roll the dice, I'll remove the 6 inches, and get into hand-to-hand combat. Why aren't you in hand-to-hand combat?
Bam! Tough acting, ten acting.
I got the board right behind me, and I'm drawing the circles, and I'm moving
the X's and
the lines. You say, where this is where you made wrong!
I don't know why my Madden kind of sounds like
Bill Cosby
taking a dump.
Yeah.
But...
You see, Jello Pudding Pop! You see, what with the Vermin Lord?
You see, Chaos Warriors.
You got us the Nurgle and the Khorne and the weird face slash with the tentacles and the boobies.
So bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. I apologize to our listening audience.
I don't apologize. You must accept the badness. You've chosen to listen to this podcast. Anything that happens to you is of your own volition.
There was 6 murder-suicides after our last podcast. Who knew? But yeah,
we go to jail for advertising the cool crime slash murder.
But the guys who were doing the podcast at Adepticon, it's like they were obviously like really, really into whatever they were talking about. And I'm like, I do 3 podcasts, and I've never been as into what these guys are talking about. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, because I'm just not that into
it. Maybe you're just too jaded.
I am. But it did look like they were...
It was the Star Wars prequels.
I think, that really did ruin everything for me.
Yeah.
But I think that is what ruined everything. Okay, I'm gonna put this out here, because we are running low on time. That for the next podcast, this is what we're going to do. So if you listen and you don't want to listen to this next podcast, that's fine. I think we should do the All Star Wars podcast. We talk about Star Wars mini games, board games,
the card
RPGs,
games.
Card games, all Star Wars.
All Star Wars.
So I could just finally bitch about why I hate the prequels so much and why it ruined gaming.
I'm down with that. I've played a lot of Star Wars games.
Why the Star Wars prequels killed Star Wars gaming as a whole.
Okay.
I think we'll do that.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about...
We should even get into some of the stuff that isn't just tabletop, too, like maybe the MMO and whatnot.
Well, yeah, just any Star Wars gaming. All Star Wars gaming all the time.
Okay.
And maybe we'll talk about how the Necron, second wave is ass.
I love the second wave. That the Triarch Walker is really cool and the bikes are really cool.
I love
cool.
the second wave of Necrons.
I mean, they have nice figures. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I love it. I want to make love.
I don't know what you're complaining about. I'm not quite following you here.
Fuck the Necrons.
I mean, do you just not like it because they're Necrons?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's fine. Because the models are cool.
Necrons are lazy. They're almost as lazy as Grey Knights.
See, that's the thing, though. I think you can actually, you can one-up people by not painting your Necrons lazy.
It don't matter. You're lazy if you buy Necrons.
That doesn't even make any
sense. You're a lazy gamer if you play Necrons.
Doesn't even make any sense.
You hear that, Necron players? You're Necron a lazy Steve. Gamer.
Call out Necron Steve. He's calling you out.
He is a guy named Necron Steve who plays Necrons. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to cut that from the podcast, because he is a local gamer named Necron Steve who plays Necrons.
You've just been called out.
You've been called out because playing Necrons is lazy. I remember when Necrons were only Necrons, and that was it in your army. And then all of a sudden you got the fucking, what is it, the big fucking monolith. Necron monolith.
The monolith, and then there's the corpse carrier thing.
But no, I'm saying the original. It was just the monolith. That was the only
Necrons plus monolith.
So it was like, okay, so you spray painted all your Necrons silver, and then you spray painted your Necron monolith black. And that's it. That's all you did. And then you glued in the fucking green pieces.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I'm so glad they got rid of those green pieces and all that stuff.
Well, actually, the Warriors still use them, right?
But because they didn't update the Warrior models.
Yeah, but all the updated stuff doesn't have
all the new Immortals, all the new stuff does not have the rods anymore, which I'm a fan of. I hated those rods.
I liked eating them and then watching them come out the other end. Nice. It was always a surprise in the toilet.
Because I was just about to say, you like rods in your butt, and clearly it's true.
it's like Necron poop. But anyway, so that'll be it for today when we end on Necron.
We should definitely end on that note.
End on that note. Go to Planet Arbitrary for all planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs, where I am covering Game of Thrones until the bitter end. The bitter, bitter end. Steve meow, hasn't watched the last meow, episode, meow, so he doesn't know.
Meow, meow, meow.
You just meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow. So you can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could also follow Steve at beardygamer.cpu.edu.palladium.
.palladium/Tumblr. Nice.
No, he's off the grid. Like us on Facebook. You can like Game Classy. Also like the Planet Arbitrary pod feed. That would be greatly appreciated. We try to get our numbers up. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you're just streaming on us. You could go to iTunes and you can get everything because...
And you get access to the exclusive Game Classy Smoke Break.
The Game Classy Smoke Break, which is 10 minutes of Steve bitching about one topic or another.
Generally.
I believe our topic this week was gaming online.
Yeah, virtual tabletops.
Virtual tabletops.
But I wasn't bitching about it. You were bitching about it.
I was bitching about it. You were just like, no, it's great, really? And I'm just like, fuck you. Yeah. Star Wars sucks.
So now every time you're angry about something, I can just be like, I'm sorry for what George Lucas did to you.
You have no idea. It was... You know that the start.
You know there was a recent interview with him where he was talking about how everyone considers Empire's the worst of the movies.
I know, I just saw it.
Was it just like daggers or what?
It wasn't that. It wasn't recent. It was dug up because I think the interview was from 2008.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like it just popped up online again.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like daggers.
It's fucking daggers, man. Like,
just like, fuck you. Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right, and I guess it's time to sign off then.
Yeah, sign off. What's until next time?
It's always fun.